pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Second hour is live. Andy Staples joining us bottom of the hour. Let us check in with Pat Daddy.
Big ball, looking good and sounding good as always. I heard that fellow from LSU saying y'all had it rigged on the Call of the Year, and I won Call of the Year last year, so Legend ain't winning them all every year like that. And what other thing? I later was talking to you about the Kentucky Derby. Clemson Tom coming there Monday. And the liquor store, he says, "Hey, Cat Daddy, did you see the Kentucky Derby?" I said, "Yeah, I watched it." He said, "What'd you think?" I said, "Pretty good race." He said, "Well, you know the fella that won that race has refused to go to the White House?" I said, "Do what? He not going to get a chance to go see the president?" He said, "No, the fella said he ain't going to go." I said, "Well, why ain't he going to go?" He said, "Well, if he wanted to see a horse's ass, he'd have come in second."
Daryl is up next. Hey, Daryl, go right ahead.
That's pretty funny. Good afternoon, Paul. I'm calling to clarify my call from yesterday, if you don't mind. After I hung up yesterday, Augie called, and he said, "Daryl from the barbershop called and was unhappy about the win." That's not true. I was simply stating that the article was written, and Scott had written the article, and he said that he was very happy about the win, but the Sunday bullpen, every Sunday our bullpen gets thin, and we don't seem to be able to pull it out. We've had 2 10-run rule games, and that's what he was talking about, but I was referring to Scott Rabelais' article. Not my feelings. I'm happy we won 2 games. But what I was wondering and what I asked you was, did the big loss, is that going to interfere with the committee selection? And that's what I was mainly wanting to know.
Yeah, well, I think ultimately, Daryl, I understood that. And the answer is simply you have to wait and look at the entire body of work the next 2 weekends, plus what happens in the tournament. I think the tournament will be very important to LSU. Jim is up next.
I want to ask you some candid questions because you got me confused a little bit. And I've been confused about your attitude about me. And I'm not trying to make this about me, but it's confusing. I heard your lavish praise on the rat rodent that, you know, that hates me. All right, I want to ask you about what do you think makes him do that, come out, do nothing but call when I call, and call about me with negativity, you know, like he does for the last, at least 10 years. Every stinking call. What do you think provokes him or causes him to do that? Is he jealous? What do you think it is?
Well, as he said, and he is correct, he was on hold when you called in.
It doesn't matter. That's not the point. He would hell, if he was in Hawaii, he's going to listen. It's been proven, and you know damn well I'm telling the truth. And anytime he hears me, he comes in with right behind me with a negativity bull, you know what.
One other thing, and I made the decision not to go right to him to try to break it up so it wouldn't look like.
That's not the point. You're still evading the point. Why do you think he constantly comes after me like he does with horrible, stinking lies and negativity? Why do you? Is he jealous? What's the reason, Paul? That's my point.
So let me ask you to help me with this. So you said jealous. You believe he is jealous of you?
I don't know what he is, but all I know is ever since he started, 10 or 12 years ago at least, even on the old station, he would call and attack me. You know this. It's a fact. Every damn time he calls and attacks me and makes some stupid ass, what you call, clever.
Well, you know what I think? Crap. I think it is, Jim.
What you think it is.
What I know about him is this. He was an athlete in high school. So I always go back to that. I throw this up in the air for discussion. Do you think he is envious of you because of your athletic prowess? He was a good athlete.
Yes, I do, and I think he knows. I think he knows from the things I've said on the show when I talked ball. I think he knows I was a great athlete, and that's just a fact. I'm not trying to brag, but I think he picked that up, and then he got mad and jealous because he ain't the
As a guy said one time, don't hate Jim because you ain't him. I believe that's his problem.
I honestly believe that's his problem. By the way,
I couldn't hear you.
I have quoted that to many people. Don't hate Jim because you ain't him.
Well, have you ever written an article in the book about how great a caller he is or anything? I mean, you know, you talk about him a little bit.
Jim, I don't know what else I can show that in the only memoir I've ever written or will ever write, you were in there on page 54.
Would you call me number one? Is that time? Would I be the number?
Well, I mean, do you want me to go back here and read it?
No, I want you. I already know what it said. Would I be number one on the Mount Rushmore, or would it be Phyllis, or would it even be Squirrel? Tell me the truth.
Give me one second, if you don't mind. I need to stand up and get this book out. Get the book off the shelf. I'll knock myself over there, Randy. Okay, Jim. You want me to turn to page 54?
Whatever you want to do, Paul. I'm just trying to get the truth out of you.
I have not looked at this book in a while. Page 54. Okay, you ready for some reading here?
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Whatever you want to do, Paul. It's your show.
In the book, I'm talking about Tammy. And I move on. And then I go, okay. Here it is. This is how they do it on the reading. Jim from Tuscaloosa is the one caller who can literally change the direction of the show. If I see his name on the monitor, he immediately gets on the air. I could be interviewing President Obama, but I would bump him for Jim from Tuscaloosa. He is the human safety net for the show and probably the best caller in the history of our program.
Hallelujah.
Now, Jim,
I read that, but now I'm wondering if Squirrel might not be the... What? I'm just simply asking you, do you think that's what caused Squirrel to hate me like he does, to attack me like he does, to lie about me? I'm just trying to get to the core of what makes that scumbag...
Jim, you can say whatever you want. Why don't we ask him that question?
Well, he won't answer it. He's like you said, he's clever. He's cunning.
He's
a liar. Okay. A liar will not tell you the truth, Paul. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about.
Jim, slow down.
Shut up, you lying scumbag.
Slow down. Calm down.
Squirrel. Squirrel, he is not here, so I am going to ask you the questions that Jim wanted to ask you.
Did he leave?
Yeah. Well, okay. We're going to conduct an interview with you. Are you willing to be subjected to this interview?
Sure.
Okay.
You can ask me any question you want. That don't mean I'll answer.
Are you jealous of Jim?
No, not in any shape, matter, or form. Not at all. I'm fascinated by the fact that 99.9% of the people that come on this show can at least quote where they went to school or what year they went to school or their team mascot or their school colors. Just a simple question like that. It's not an invasion of privacy. You're not giving someone your social security number.
You are saying that because he was a better athlete than you, what he has told us.
Well, according to Jim, only according to Jim, only according to Jim.
That is not at the root of your.
It's not between me and Jim as far as who is the greatest athlete. We're from different eras, Paul.
Okay.
Jim played before Jim Crow. I played after Jim Crow. It's a completely different era, so there's no comparison between them.
He also asked me a question, and I'll ask you. Why do you always call in and belittle him?
I don't belittle him. Jim is the, like he said, he's the Mount Rushmore caller of the show. And if anything, I guess, if I had to peel the onion layers back, I guess... He's just so monumental. I can't help but comment on him. I don't know.
You will or will not agree that he is the best caller on the show.
Oh, without a doubt. He's always been my favorite caller. Okay. I've never said he would. Have I ever called for Jim to be banned from the show?
No.
One time? No, never. I've defended Jim's right to call in 27 times per day. So, I feel like I've done my job here.
I read from page. By the way, I'm not trying to sell this book. This book is actually 10 years old. I don't care if you buy it anymore or not.
Put Jim back on.
He is no longer with us. I don't mean he's dead.
He bailed out just like he bailed out of high school. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
We'll take a very short break and back with more right after this message.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Let's continue here with Rick in Houston. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. So, show got off to a rip-roaring start with Bash and then really picked up the steam with Jim and Squirrel there. But, Paul, I think I figured out why your show is so successful. And that is because it is a one-stop shop for whatever issues anyone might be having in life, Paul. We can come to you and we can get, you know, our mental health here. You know, whenever Matt calls in, we've got plenty of experts to help him out. We can get all the legal advice in the world that we want from William and from Augie. You know, we can get our entertainment news, music from I-Man and John from St. Louis. But, Paul, where the show really excels in is the spiritual help that we can get here. And the great thing about your show is it doesn't just have one doctrine. It's got numerous doctrines. You know, we've got the Reformed Church of Legend. We've got the Hell and Fire Brimstone with Jim where, you know, everybody's going to hell except him. And then we've got Todd, and you know, Todd 3:16 says, "I just whipped your ass at the feed store, but I'm going to pray for you afterwards."
I like that. Todd 3:16, that's one of the funnier ones we've heard.
Well, Paul, I eagerly await the rest of the show. It's been great so far. You have a great day, sir.
Thank you very much, Rick. Thanks for bringing a smile to all of our faces before we say hello to John.
Well, first of all, I wanted to tell you that you've been blessed.
Thank you, John.
By Jim today. Anyway, Back to football.
I think it's always a blessing is a blessing, is it not?
Yeah, it is. Very, very much so. Anyway, now I do have a football question. I am not aware of any new rules, rule changes for college football for 2024 season, and I didn't know if there have been any or not. I'm trying to think. I know the reason I'm asking, I've been reading about this new kickoff rule in the National Football League that's going to have a significant effect on, you know, strategy with kickoffs for teams. And I don't know if there is anything similar or anything else.
Yeah, there is. There's a timeout, I believe, that will occur. And there's also... I mean, it's mainly timing, I believe. I don't think there's anything significant beyond that.
But what do you mean by timeout? Teams get an extra timeout?
Yeah, there's an automatic timeout with 2 minutes remaining in the second and fourth quarter, and then there's a runoff. The rule change, there's 10-second runoffs, which really can be very critical toward the end of a game.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Okay, now over to... segue over to an individual named from Pell City named AJ. And
by the way, there's also the in-helmet communication, I believe.
The what?
The in-helmet communication.
Okay, very good. Okay, well, I'm sure AJ knows about these things, but AJ, just a couple of things here, Paul. I mean, I haven't directed anything recently to AJ, but my opinions are as follows as far as his input to the show. And there's everybody else that comes on the show adds value, but AJ, you add nothing. AJ, all I can tell you is here in St. Louis, we don't smoke marijuana, AJ. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't wear our hair like you do and look like some type of born-again hippie from Pale Bama. So all this comes up to AJ is the fact of the matter is I'm ready to take you on, young man. If you won't box me or if you won't do a cage fight, I'll at least arm wrestle you, okay? That's where I'm going here.
Not to get in the middle of this, John, but I think he was willing to do it. I'm the one who tried to get in the way.
Well, that's all fine and good, Paul. And the bottom line is, AJ, you may have Joey and Rosemary Buttafuoco on your side, but I have Amy Fisher and Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan, and now I have Stormy Daniels on my team, okay? And... AJ, I hate to say this, but I just don't care for you at all.
John, hold your horses 1 second. Can you? I think I can get you the answer on your question in relation to AJ.
Mr. John, come on and
AJ,
talk it up here, John.
Okay, why don't you squeal, young man? Like
because I'm not a pig, okay, young man? I'm not a pig like you are. You're actually a rat, John. You're just a rat. You're a basement-dwelling rat over there, living in your mom's basement right beside Jim there, John. I mean, come on. I thought we was how much working out you got to do, John?
I'm ready, young man. I'm going you right now. You pick the spot. I got the truck. I got a new truck. I'll drive down.
AJ, are you agreeable to any of these suggestions?
Affirmative, Mr. Feinbaum. I affirm this. Yes, I agree with it. I want it. I will pick my spot. It's going to be right across his nose, John.
Well, you better be ready. I got a helmet I wear, and I also wear brass knuckles.
Now, guys, I feel like it's incumbent upon me to. Isn't there a way that we could all sit in a room and settle this just verbal jousting versus physical violence?
Quite frankly, Paul, I think that ship has sailed.
I hate to agree with him, but I think that's a correct statement,
okay,
Paul.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just
don't want to have anything to do with this young man. He's an impediment to the show. He harasses people.
Okay.
He calls people names. He contradicts you. He tries to make you look like a fool. And the only fool on the show, AJ, is you. Bye.
But Paul, one thing, Paul. I mean, come on, John. The reason John said he originally started calling was because he was coming after AJ, Mr. Feinbaum. That is an actual fact. War damn eagle.
Okay. I feel like we've settled that without violence. And don't you think it was a, I mean, I know people are saying let them go at it, but you also understand I work for a major public entity, and I would be derelict in my duty as a host for this company if I didn't try to stop violence. I mean, we're a company that promotes fun.
Yeah, we're a family.
We're a family company. We don't want a 45-year-old guy getting in the ring with an 87-year-old man and killing him. That's not what we look forward to. I know some of you might, but we will be right back. Andy Staples is up next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back as Bobby in Toledo is calling next. Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Paul, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Just a couple questions. What do you think about Ryan Day as Ohio State's coach? What do you think about him as a coach?
I think overall he checks every box except whether he is capable of winning at all, and I'm still wondering about that.
Okay. All right. I was just wondering from, you know, getting something from you. Because you've been on the radio
while. He's a phenomenal recruiter. Outside of Nick Saban and Kirby Smart, there's nobody in his league. Every year he's producing enormous talent. But I'm a little bit underwhelmed by him in big games. And
I think
that's really Kirby Smart had that issue as well. But then he broke through and won a couple of national championships. All it takes is winning the national championship. That's not easy, but with the talent that Ryan Day has, there's no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I would put his talent on the same level as George's next year. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Elliot is up next. Hey, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I got busy, couldn't call in, and I come back, and it's mayhem. Logan saying that Saban, Feinbaum, and Legend are going to meet us in heaven. And then Ridge Runner Matt from San Antonio says that the starts trashing Ohio State. I'm telling you, Paul, that the Ohio State-Michigan game is the greatest rivalry in all of sport. They call it that for a reason. The only person making sense is Braxton, and then you had this Brad Crawford on talking about the best places to coach, and it's all SEC. What about State College in Michigan? What incredible places to coach, Paul. And then you even said, he's like, who's this guy that put this list together? And then you have him on your show. But kudos to Braxton because he knows what's going on with Ryan Day. And you're right. You just mentioned him up there with the elites.
We welcome somebody who actually knows what he's talking about, and that's Andy Staples, the great writer and now podcaster with On3. Andy, thank you. Sometimes I get confused between our guests and the callers because they're all so smart.
The level of disappointment in your voice when you say great writer and now podcaster.
Okay, do you want me to explain?
Like my wife.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, you were... by the way, I've had this happen to me, so I feel like it's time for me to do it to you.
I understand that, and I'm fine with it.
You are one of the preeminent sports writers in America. You were a must-read when you worked for various well-known publications. And then, I mean, how in the world could you sell out for the money to become a podcaster? I mean, Andy, have you no shame?
I learned from the best, Paul. I've just followed the example of my elders who have cashed in and cashed out by getting on video, hanging out with Tim Tebow, getting licked by Uga. All of these things sound like a great way to get paid.
Okay. Yeah, but Andy, we needed you as a writer. I mean, there's podcasts. I mean, I go by and pick up my dry cleaning, and my dry cleaning guy says, "Hey, you want to be on my podcast?" Randy, do you have a podcast?
No.
Okay.
I should.
Everybody has a podcast, and now you're. I mean, what is your podcast?
That means you can come on the show tomorrow, right, Paul?
Okay, that means I can. Yes, I have been on the Andy Staples. And by the way, it is not your normal talking to some guy who looks like he's in a submarine podcast. I mean, it's big time.
Yeah, I look like I have a garage door behind me. That's the way I do it.
You do. It's very nice. Okay, Andy. Enough of the nonsense. Let's talk about what is going into your podcast these days. I suspect a lot of speculation about what is to come. Tell us about it.
Oh yeah, what is college football going to look like? We've talked about that a bunch, and it's one of those things. And I know you guys, like you had Ben Portnoy on from Sports Business Journal, and it's hard because it's not the most sexy topic for shows, but what happens here next in the next month or two as they figure out how to settle this House versus the NCAA case, like, will shape what college football looks like to us over the next few years. And I think that's the part that's been amazing to me is how fast all this stuff is going now, Paul. Because I remember back in 2011 when we were talking about what is now NIL, like it was a pipe dream, and here we are. Not that far removed from that, and you might have schools paying athletes, collectively bargaining with athletes, like within the next couple of years, because they had to do it, or they were going to keep getting sued.
So, Andy, what when all these spring meetings end and more conventions and more confabs on the beach with 5-star hotels, where do you think we'll be?
I think they will be closer to a settlement because that price probably keeps going up. The case is scheduled to go to trial in January. They are going to have to do something before that because they can't risk losing that case and having to foot the bill for the full amount if you lose that case. So I'd imagine it's going to be pretty quick, and it's just a matter of figuring out what everybody's willing to do. And I think the idea, like Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, had this, you know, Project D1, where basically you sort of opted in to you're willing to pay this amount to the players. I think that's what's going to happen. And then whoever is willing to pay that amount, which I would guess is the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Big 12, they're going to do it.
Talking to Andy Staples. Andy, beyond that, I know everybody's trying to figure out what happens on the field. We still have months and months of rubber chicken circuits, of spring meetings, media days. But as you look, especially at the SEC, What is the burning question that you have?
It's which of the SEC teams are going to make this first 12-team playoff, because there's a lot of options here. We've got a show coming out tomorrow on the ceiling and the floor for the teams of the SEC, and we had quite a few teams that their ceiling is a playoff berth. Obviously Georgia, obviously Alabama, obviously Texas. You know, Georgia, two of the last three national titles. Texas made the playoff, the 14 playoff last year. Alabama did too. But Tennessee, Missouri, Ole Miss, LSU. These are all teams that you can see their ceiling as the 12-team playoff. They aren't all going to make it. At the most, it's going to be four. It's probably going to be three. But how you get there is pretty amazing. And how scheduling matters now is pretty crazy because, I don't mean your non-conference schedule, although that may factor into it, but just the draw you got from the conference. Because if you look at Georgia's schedule versus Missouri's schedule, those look like two different things.
Andy, spring's over now in terms of the football, and it seems like narratives start getting built. I keep hearing Mike Elko, man, don't take your eyes off of him. That could be a big story. We know about some of the other ones. And it seems like every conversation I have with you always ends at the same place. But I'm getting, rightly or wrongly, and that's why we want you to burst the bubble or enhance it, Why am I getting positive vibes out of Gainesville? I realize you're down there, but am I reading it incorrectly? Am I talking to the wrong people? What's the reality?
No, I think the people at Florida legitimately feel like they've got a better team than they had last year, and there's a good chance they might. I think Graham Mertz was a very pleasant surprise coming in as a transfer quarterback. I think they have some pretty big expectations for him this year. Yes, everybody's excited about DJ Lagway, but I think everybody feels pretty comfortable with what Graham Mertz can do. And then, you know, you get Shamar James back from injury on the defense, and you have Eugene Wilson III, who was a very exciting wide receiver. He had some injuries. You didn't really get a chance to see all that he could do last year. He could be exciting. Jaden Baugh, the freshman running back, is a guy I think people are going to really enjoy watching. But the problem is that schedule is so freaking hard. You could be a better team, wind up with the same record. And the thing is, if you wind up with the same record, if you're 5-7, and in that case, your regular seasons under Billy Napier would be 6-6, 5-7, 5-7. Like, you've kind of shown what you are at that point. You're a 500 coach. And that's the part that has to be sorted out is everybody's wondering, okay, do you give this guy more time if they appear to be getting better? Or do you say, no, the standard is higher than just make a bowl game at Florida? And I think you can't really make that determination right now. You have to watch this team play. You have to watch them against the Georgias of the world, against the Texases of the world, the Ole Misses. How do they play? How do they stack up? If it looks like they can play with them, then great, Billy Napier's fine. If it doesn't, or if they're losing to Miami and Texas A&M and UCF, it's a completely different story. But right now, this is a roster that kind of could go either way. The defense has to be better than it was. I think the offense will be pretty serviceable. But they've got to show that they can stack up. They don't have to beat them all, but stack up with some of those teams.
Andy, finally, seems like the hype train seems to be parked right now in Oxford, Mississippi. We all know what Lane Kiffin has from a talent standpoint, but what is this season about for him and the Rebels?
I think it's just show that you can live up to that hype. And they're one of the rare teams. That might be the only team we've seen in the transfer portal era that's managed to get better on both lines of scrimmage through the transfer portal. We were just talking about Florida. Princely Emmanuelin was Florida's best edge rusher last year. He now plays at Ole Miss. Walter Nolan, very good defensive tackle from Texas A&M. He now plays at Ole Miss. Ole Miss got a couple of offensive linemen out of the transfer portal that are going to push some returning starters or create competition that they're going to have a deeper offensive line than they've had in years. They got Juice Wells out of the transfer portal. If he's healthy at receiver, you put him opposite Trey Harris, and you got Priestcorn at tight end, and you have this huge stable of backs. They should be able to move the ball on anyone, absolutely anyone. So everything is set up for them now, Paul. It's a matter of paying it off. And, you know, the knock on Lane is, well, he didn't beat Nick Saban, and he hasn't beaten Kirby Smart. He's going to get a shot at Kirby Smart in the regular season. There's a chance he could get a shot at Alabama or a shot at Texas in Atlanta if they have the season that they're expecting to have. And look, I wouldn't be shocked if Ole Miss winds up in Atlanta because they have the combination of roster and schedule to make that happen.
That's the money quote we waited all day for. Andy Staples joining us.
I got trapped. I knew it.
Bells are going off right now in Oxford, Mississippi. We'll take a short break. Thank you, Andy. More to come, more of your phone calls, more guests as well. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back and Bubba is up next.
What's shaking, Paul? Randy! Hey, brother, I think I got a solution for you with the John and the AJ battle here. I know you want to eliminate the violence, Paul, but I still think we can pull this off. Have you ever seen those inflatable sumo outfits?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, that would be perfect, man. They could go out and wear each other out and be totally harmless.
Yeah, but if we can't pull that off, could John even get into one?
Well, that's the question. But honestly, outside of that, I think it's going to boil down to maybe just a spelling contest or something. What do you think?
I think a spelling bee is a good idea. We did that once on the show.
Yeah, and honestly,
ago.
I would have to pick AJ in the physical confrontation, but I swear I'd have to put my money on John in the aptitude of the spelling.
By the way, I mean, I don't want to sound the wrong way, but I mean, we don't need a 45-year-old guy pushing a 94-year-old man around, okay? It's not a good look.
No. And let me ask you this question. How long has Dwayne been out on that rig this time? Did he really ask you who knocked him out of the bracket?
Yeah, but Dwayne gets back and I don't think his family like saves the paper for him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know they're not that far offshore, but I think it was over about a month ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's been back. That was surprising to me that he didn't know that. But I'm really curious about, though, is this guy Chris from South Carolina?
Yeah, Chris was talking about squirrel hunting the other day. I think Chris needs to hunt something relevant to call about. It's what he needs to be hunting.
Like, how about a significant take before he calls in?
Yeah, he's got a weak game, man. Of course, it makes sense. He's an ACC Clemson fan, so, you know. He's trying to dig in here and be somebody, but I guess he could just keep swinging. Hey, you guys have a good day. Great show.
Thank you very, very much. And Susie is up next.
Hi, Paul. Good to hear your voice. Thank you for taking my call. I love Bubba. I just think Bubba's fabulous, and I love when he calls in. Just the way he enters the conversation, it just makes
He's
me
funny.
Smile
I
when
agree.
He comes up to Randy. So I was glad to follow him, Bubba. Great call. And actually, Bubba's talking about one of the things that I was going to talk about, and he said it perfectly, and that's about Chris and who is this Chris and what does this Chris want to be on the show? I don't know. I'm still working on that. I enjoy this show.
I don't know what he wants to be, but I can certainly tell you what he's not.
No, absolutely. I like this young caller, Braxton. Do you know how old he is?
13. You know what? I don't want anybody to misunderstand me here, but you know what I like about Braxton? I met Braxton and his parents, I believe. He's a nice young man who does nice young kid things.
Yes.
It's not all about privilege and who I met and what country club I went to and
I'm going to caddy for.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just it's what 13-year-olds should be. And maybe there's some hating on privilege because I didn't have that when I was his age.
Yeah,
maybe it's all coming out of me now. Maybe it's been repressed that I don't like little kids who do things that the rest of us little kids couldn't do. Do you understand that, Randy?
Could never do.
Yeah, you understand that. You were a teacher, Susie.
Yes. Oh,
you saw the haves and the have-nots.
That's why, I got in trouble that one time.
You saw all the kids with the alligator
and
polo shirts,
me,
and those of us who were wearing rags.
Yep. Right.
You saw the kids with the fancy book covers, and then you saw my poor mother had to get grocery bags to wrap my books.
Brown bags, absolutely, and we.
I'm not hating on him just because his parents, are taking him around with a silver spoon. That's not it whatsoever. That's not it. I promise you, that is not it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.